Hi friends, welcome to my daily update video. Today is Saturday and it's going to be a great day. I've got a busy day today. I'm actually doing a wedding for a couple in my church. It's always fun doing weddings and really love that. So preparing for tomorrow, we have guests here from the south and also from France here this weekend, so lots of busy days. But let me give you a few quick housekeeping things as normal. Hit the subscribe button if you're on YouTube here. Check out the links below. Why not sign up for our email newsletter? You get a free gift when you do that. Again, links below. Let me just mention a couple of new things as well. I have a course coming out, should be out late Sunday or Monday, on the goodness of God. The Goodness Course. This is 12 lessons, video, audio, notes, questions, meditations, all about the goodness of God, the transformative power of goodness. And I really encourage you to explore that, to check it out. We're going to put it out half price for the first week or so. So get a good dose of goodness. Okay, I wanted to mention as well, I'll be taking a team to the nation of Ireland in the month of May, May 3rd through the 10th. And the sign up is available on my website, and places are still open if you're interested in coming on a supernatural missions and mentoring trip to Ireland. Boom. Hey, let me share something real quick with you. It won't be long today, but you may see my dog wandering around in the background. But really just this, that we're called to enjoy God. Let me say that again. We are called to enjoy God. And not to endure God. And the Christian life, one of the greatest keys, maybe the greatest key you'll ever find, is actually enjoying your walk with God. And, you know, when I'm around Christians, it seems like there's these two poles, these two extremes of some people who only want to see the positive, and it's like, come to God and he'll give you a new car and money will overflow and you'll never get sick and you never have a problem in your life. That's not my experience, and I don't think that's the experience of anybody in the Bible. And yet, what most of the church is actually is on the other extreme. We talk about the trials and the difficulties and the hardships and the suffering and the persecution, and all those things are there, and yet we can miss so easily the pleasure of enjoying God. And I think the true message, it's like you see with Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Yes, they're being persecuted. Yes, they're in prison. Yes, they're suffering. Yes, things aren't looking that good. And then in the midst of that, maybe more in the midst of that than anywhere else, they learn to enjoy God. They learn to praise. And I think to the measure that we enjoy God, to that measure will we truly show him with our generation and give him away. Let me read a well-known verse, but Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created." Yeah, why did God create you? Not to mow your lawn or shovel snow or teach or preach or start a business or raise kids. God created you for his pleasure. How's it going for you? And I think God wants us, so again, what religion will do is push that off into, you know, some eschatological future. One day we will enjoy God. God wants you to enjoy him right here and right now. So let me give you four quick keys that will help you enjoy God. Key number one would be this: have a vision for this. You know, have a short, medium, and long-term vision of doing life with God. Today is a Saturday. I've got to do a bunch of things. I'm sure there's something won't be working in my church. I'm not speaking that out, but, you know, buildings, people, you know. Here's the thing. You do the best job you can, but I intend to enjoy God today. I don't intend to endure God. I'm not a pilgrim trudging through the mud. And I want to have that. When you actually have that vision of, Lord, I'm going to enjoy you today. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, tomorrow I'll be driving for about 4 hours. And I love to think, right, I'm going to get in my car, good cup of coffee, and listen to something. God, I'm going to enjoy you. Now, that might be in some direct, specific way. I'm going to pray in tongues and intercede for the nations. It might actually just be, I'm just going to enjoy being in your presence, not saying anything. God, I'm going to enjoy you. So get a vision for that. Get a vision for that in the short, in the medium. And even in the long term, I love to see, I say this respectfully, but people who are older, seniors, people in the, you know, late 70s, 80s, 90s, and that they know they can't maybe do what they did when they were 25, duh, and yet they're living out that vision of living out those years well and enjoying God and not always looking back or always looking forward or always bemoaning this thing or that thing. And, you know, guys, I tell you, most of us who've been around a while know there's always going to be, you know, we're never going to be happy for long with politics and the price of gas and inflation, and there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars and these things and pandemics somewhere. And I mean, just, you know, do what you got to do, but don't let it steal your joy. Don't let be in the storm, but be at peace in the storm. Which leads me to key number two: learn the discipline of rest. You know, God rested on the seventh day. God created us for rest, and rest isn't just exhaustion. Like, rest is actually, you know, it took me years to get this one, but if you're really tired, you can't rest. Rest is not simply working like a dog, you know, 8 days a week, the Beatles sang, and then like just lying in a heap being exhausted. Rest is enjoyment. Rest is spending time with God, spending time with God's people, spending time with the people you love, doing the things you love. Rest is not, you know, simply not, it's not the absence of activity. It's not a negative, it's a positive. It's a really interesting thing. I've got some great friends who've been in the ministry a long, long time. I remember talking once with somebody who's now in their 80s, and they knew some of the preachers in the healing revival around about the late 40s, 50s, early 60s. And, you know, I'm not going to mention any names or pick on any of them. But so often, so many of those famous evangelists kind of crashed and burned. We were talking about this once. We're actually talking about how a really amazing evangelist kind of died an alcoholic. And how would that be? And, you know, this older and wiser guy said to me when I was young, I remember him saying that one of the problems is those guys would do ministry and then that was all they did. You know, go and do the glory of ministry and then go back to some, you know, horrible motel and have no life. The family wouldn't be with them. Have no hobbies. They didn't have a lightsaber to play with. I mean, just life and fun. So learn to rest. Learn to do life well with God. Key number three, this has really helped me. Learn to separate work from strife. It's actually really difficult for pastors because so often my work involves somebody else's strife. And literally, I don't want to lie, I don't know, that would be an exaggeration, but probably 80 to 90% of most days, I've got a crisis blowing up and it's a people crisis and a person and somebody's mad at this or mad at that and strife. And what I've had to learn to do is I'm going to work to win those situations. I'll put a date on the calendar. I'll go meet with them. I'll help them work through their issues. I'll help them move away from a religious point of view to a kingdom point of view. And yet, I don't have to get involved in their strife. And once I start drinking the cup of strife with them, you know, it's no longer a problem on the table to solve. I've got a pair of headphones here. So if I had a pair of headphones and they're not working, now, you know, my methodology would be to whack them. That's about all I know how to do. But I guess I could look at the wires, the batteries, the different things. I'd work the problem. And then if I really can't, I'd throw that away and buy a new pair. We should learn to work the situations of life. You know, relational things, marital things, pandemic, politics, all these kind of things. Like, what do we do? But don't let them become a heart issue. Let them simply be a head issue there. So I will help you with your strife, but I won't get involved in it. Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. And strife, more than anything else, will steal you away from that place of enjoying God. Boom. Here's my last key today, guys. Actually plan to enjoy God. Strategize, plan, think. Put it on your calendar. 9 a.m. Enjoy God. It sounds really dumb, I know. But if we don't plan to do that, the world has this. Is it Parkinson's law that says every job expands to the amount of time that you allow it? And life has a way of taking over. Life has a way of dominating you. Life has a way of stealing your focus and your agenda. And you've got to be strategic and think. Jesus did that, if you think about it. In ministry, crazy ministry all day long. And, you know, if need be, he would deny himself sleep. He would say, I'm going to be with my Father. It's needful for me to go and pray. So actually plan and strategize. Find those times when you are alone with God and not again running through a bunch of religious beads, but actually you're enjoying God. Plan to enjoy God. The greatest secret as well is, I should have put this as number five really, the key to enjoying God is knowing that God enjoys you. Let me say that again. The key to enjoying God is knowing that God enjoys you, Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. I will be live with a couple of my sermons tomorrow. I'm going to be speaking on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to be demolishing cessationalism. Bye-bye, B.B. Warfield. Hello, Jesus. And she's talking about how the gifts of the Spirit should be flowing and working in our life. Hope to see you in person tomorrow if you can. If you can't be with me, be in your home church. Absolutely, tomorrow. Be there, be faithful, show up, serve, give, love. Be a pillar in the church of God, not a hitchhiker, not a hanger-on. Have a great Saturday, guys. Enjoy your day. Bye for now.